Hello and welcome to How Green is Your Deal, a podcast about Europe's path to climate neutrality. This podcast is part of Green Deal Net, a Jean Monnet network that brings together research and teaching on EU climate and sustainability governance. Something that is a lot said is that 100 companies are responsible for around 70% of global greenhouse gas emissions. But what does corporate responsibility for climate change actually entail? And how can corporations be held accountable? To discuss these issues, we are joined today by Annalisa Savaresi, a professor at the University of Eastern Finland with great expertise on environmental law. She has recently published a paper and a blog on the topic of today's episode, which will be linked in the show notes. Hi, Annalisa. Thank you for joining us today and for sharing your insights on this issue. To begin with, how can we actually understand this role of corporation when it comes to climate change?
Climate change is a phenomenon that is associated with pollution of the atmosphere. And this pollution, these greenhouse gas emissions, are largely the result of industrialization and industrial activities. So corporate actors play a fundamental role in having caused the problem and in getting to the solution. Industrial emissions are not, of course, the only source of pollution. There is agriculture and other land uses that are also responsible for part of the share of greenhouse gas emissions. But the bulk of these emissions is really produced by corporate actors. They produce the products that we all use and consume. And there has been historically a long debate about how to properly account for emissions, whether at production or at consumption level. What is clear, however, is that the way in which we produce has to change. And to engender that change, a number of strategies have been taken across the world. As many listeners will know, emission trading has been established in many countries in order to reduce or incentivize corporate actors to reduce emissions. Much more needs to be done, however, because as you rightly point out, scientific reports, and here some modicum of discretion exists in methodologies, but scientific reports clearly indicate that corporate actors are the main source of a problem. So the challenge that we are faced with when we are talking about climate change is clearly that to reward virtuous corporate behavior and punish non-virtuous behavior. It's a very complex situation that is fair to say has also suffered for a general lack of political will. As I'm sure you appreciate, there is a lot of vested interests in this sector. And talking about corporate governance is a very delicate issue for any lawmaker, whether we're talking about international, regional, or national. It's fair to say that there isn't a lot of international law in this sphere. The European Union has itself progressively moved into this area, for example, by adopting due diligence legislation. But whether or not that will be enough in order to engender the systemic change that we need at the corporate level remains to be seen. What is clear is that we have, therefore, an environmental problem that has been caused by corporate practice that is widespread globally and that is not adequately regulated today.
So these corporations, because they produce all of the things we consume, they're of course responsible for the ways how they are producing it, and there might be some strategies for them to reduce emissions, but it's really difficult to actually get to that point because of the lobbying and the power that they have over our political systems. You mentioned a little bit about these due diligence laws. What are actually some of the government's instruments to hold these corporations accountable?
Well, there is a number of tools that governments can in principle use in order to get corporate actors to reduce their emissions. The first and foremost instrument is, of course, always command and control. You prohibit certain activities. And we know that, for example, coal power plants are being phased out in a number of countries, including the United Kingdom. But it's fair to say that other strategies are also increasingly being used. For example, as I said, due diligence legislation. Due diligence legislation is legislation that forces corporate actors to account for their emissions in a transparent way, according to certain methodologies. And once this information is out there in the open, it enables the public to scrutinize the activities of corporate actors more than it is possible at present. Also, what this kind of legislation typically does is to force corporate actors to comply with certain sustainability standards, extraterritorially even. This is the fascination of this policy tool. What has tended to happen quite a lot was the outsourcing of emissions. So polluters were relocating in sites where they were not regulated. Now, the idea to regulate due diligence extraterritorially is therefore the fact that the compliance monitoring will extend beyond the territory of the European Union in this case and really reach corporate actors wherever their operations are and also to their extend to their supply chains, so their partners, their subsidiaries, the people they get their products or their raw materials from. And this is really quite important because it does potentially engender a paradigm shift in the way in which corporate actors operate. But this is the principle and the idea. We're far away from implementation, so a lot needs to happen before the idea of using due diligence in order to constrain corporate behavior and engender virtuous behavior is a reality.
It does sound like such a good and basic idea, you know, to hold corporations accountable for the entire of their corporate practices, no matter where they are located, you know, to really have your sustainable products. So hopefully that will be able to be possible at some point. One other trend we've seen a lot in the recent years are these climate cases against corporations as well, like Shell in the Netherlands. Can you say a little bit more how these climate litigation cases can help hold corporations accountable?
Climate litigation is a global phenomenon. It's happening everywhere. In some places more than others, the Netherlands is a very good example where very prominent climate cases have already been heard and decided in court with exciting outcomes. The whole point of climate litigation is really that to empower the public in this case to hold accountable state and corporate actors for their climate impacts. And this may sound trivial, but it's actually not. We have in the past seen a long history by now of states' reluctance to effectively regulate corporate actors doing everything they can to avoid regulation and dodge the bullet. So empowering the public to really enter this relationship and use the blunt instruments that the law provides in order to force accountability on corporate actors and state actors is really important. It's not, I would say, physiological. This is not the way in which things are meant to be. What we would have in a physiological system is good legislation that goes after the polluters and is enforced accordingly. What we have a situation right now is a deficit of regulation, and the regulation that exists is not properly implemented. Therefore, litigation has become a necessary evil. a necessary evil to enable civil society organizations, the public, to go after the state as happened in Urgenda, or go after Shell as happened with Milieu Defensi, in order to say we have here a public duty that is not being complied with in the case of a state, or we have here a private duty under civil law, tort law, that is not being discharged. You are responsible, and the court orders you to do what you should. It's extreme, and I understand a lot of people are reluctant to endorse this way of using litigation, but it's also very denotative of the critical situation where we are with this climate crisis we are living in.
So really, this climate litigation then serves to fill out this gap in legislation that is there, or faulty implementation of legislation, potentially then also related to what you said in the beginning, you know, about this power of this vested interest in our political system. And I guess then this climate litigation can be used as a way to, I don't know, get through to that power or have some kind of influence. When you think about the implications of these cases on these corporations or on our political system, how do you see it? Are you optimistic about their outcome, or what do you think?
I do not believe that we can litigate our way out of a climate crisis in which we are. At the same time, it's clear that these cases, these judgments that have been delivered in the Netherlands, for example, have had an impact on judicial practice and on state and corporate practice. So the case against Royal Dutch Shell is, of course, subject to appeal. We have to see what the decision at the appeal court is. But if the first instance judgment is confirmed, Shell has been ordered to reduce its emissions. And this is really unprecedented. It can have systemic impacts like the Urgenda decision had all those years back now. It feels like a long time, it's not that long ago, but when the Supreme Court of the Netherlands ordered the Dutch state definitively to change the law and make it more ambitious, that meant that the law was actually changed, or rather revised and upgraded. And this is really important because we are living such an unprecedented situation where there is a recalcitrance in the lawmaking process. There is even, in some cases, backtracking on commitments that have been made in the past. So we really need to use every tool available to us, and litigation is certainly one of them. It's not the only one, but it's certainly one that has engendered impact and is likely to continue to do so if it continues to be used. You may have heard recently in the United States, lawsuits have been brought against corporations because of the impact of climate change, and local municipalities and councils asking for compensation for having to deal with this impact. This is unprecedented, and we don't know what the outcome of these cases are, but they are pointing in the direction of gaps in the law and in ways in which we can try and hold accountable corporate actors for their misdeeds.
So in that way, they kind of push everything a little bit forward, perhaps, like not to make the big leap or the big change that is necessary, but at least to kind of push everyone like in the direction, or to think a little bit more about it. And I guess that's when then the cases are successful, like in the Netherlands, that's probably also inspiring for others then to start their own. Related to this as a final question, sometimes when we discuss climate change, it's a lot of doom and gloom. When we see all these impacts and we hear that we are still not doing enough, is there anything that gives you hope for the future?
Well, I take heart from the fact that there is a lot of young people nowadays that are really engaged with this subject matter. For somebody like me who's been in the business for quite some time, it's easy to remember how it was considered a tree-hugger problem, a very niche grassroots problem that only some people were informed and cared about. nowadays, it's really interesting and inspiring to see how, especially younger generations, are taking their future at heart, are taking this problem at heart, and trying to be part of the conversation. It's really important. We are the ones that will have to live with this. And for us who are a bit older, it's really important to empower them to be part of this conversation. It's a problem that has such enormous implications for us as a species on this planet, and for every other species really on this planet. We really have to throw at it everything we have. And in this case, litigation is just one tool, as I said, but an important one. And we have to absolutely address this accountability gap. Until that is resolved, we will not manage to crack the nut of climate change and really resolve this problem. So everything that helps in that direction is definitely welcome and needed.
I agree with the young people as well, you know, like seeing all of the protests, especially in 2018 and 2019 before COVID, and also the real impact that they had, at least on European policy, with the European Green Deal coming after it and everything. It's very inspiring to see, and I think it also then inspired older people then to also go to the streets and ask for more. So we can only hope that this momentum can keep going, and that in this way, together with climate litigation and all of these other things, we can finally transform our society where it needs to be. Thank you so much, Annalisa, for sharing your insights on this very interesting topic. And yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to How Green Is Your Deal on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you are listening. If you want to stay informed on Green Deal Net's activities, please go to greendealnet.eu and subscribe to the newsletter.